This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
In alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu, nasta'inuhu, nasta'afiruh, wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah, wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم وما يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. A question to ask yourself when you think of piety, when you think of righteousness, what thoughts do you think about with respect to the qualities of righteousness and piety? A person might refer to someone who is righteous as someone who is praying salah a lot, or another person who is fasting a lot, or another person who maybe his exterior appearance looks like that of a Muslim. Maybe he is one who is wearing the clothing of a Muslim or has a beard of a Muslim. Some people, when they think of righteousness, they may think of these particular elements. In today's khutbah, we'll talk about the early Muslimin when they thought of righteousness, birr. What came to their mind with respect to someone who is actually close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Before we answer this question, we'll talk about this quality as it pertained to some of the early Muslimin and how they exhibited this special quality of righteousness that is a symbol of it that we'll discuss in today's khutbah. It's mentioned that in the era of At-Tabi'in, there is a man by the name of Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, and we should all know who Abu Hanifa rahimahullah is. He's one of the major imams of fiqh. And it's mentioned once that Abu Hanifa was at his neighbor's house. And on this hot day, while he's at the house of his neighbor, he's taking some shade under his balcony or his house. Then, in the same gathering or the same meeting, his neighbor needed some money, so Imam Abu Hanifa lent him some money. The next day, he goes back to this neighbor's house, or this friend's house that he had. And he goes to this friend's home. And while he's there, then on this occasion, instead of sitting under the shade of his friend's house, instead he sits far away under the sweltering heat of the sun. His friend, he asks him, he says, Ya Abu Hanifa, لماذا تجلس بعيدا? Oh Abu Hanifa, why are you sitting so far away? Then Abu Hanifa, he responds by saying, he says that, خفت أن يكون ذلك لونا من الربا. He said that, I feared as though my sitting under the shade of your house would have been a type or a sort of riba, a type of interest. This is story number one. Now what we can gain from this story right away is likely it was not riba, but there was something within Abu Hanifa that because of the fact he lent him some money, he did not want to take extra. Because as we know, riba is when you give money for money with an increase in return. Story number two. We have a case of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, and this hadith is found in the Sahih of al-Bukhari, that once an-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to his bedside, and on his bed he found that there was a date there. So an-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he picked it up, he looked at this date, he commented, and he thought that perhaps this date could have been sadaqah. Maybe it was a gift, but perhaps it could have been sadaqah as well. And then he decided against eating it. And as we know, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they can take a gift, but it is haram for them to take sadaqah, it is haram for them to take zakah. The third story we'll discuss is with respect to Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, the son of Umar al-Khattab, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. It's mentioned that on one occasion there was a person that saw Abdullah ibn Umar, and Abdullah ibn Umar was wearing some clothing that could have been replaced. It was clothing which was something which was old and it could have been replaced. So his friend, he gives him a fine material. He gives him some really nice new clothes. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he looks at it and he feels it. And he says to his friend, is this made of silk? His friend says, no, it's made of cotton. Abdullah ibn Umar, when he sees this nice article of clothing, then he says that I do not want to wear this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. I fear as though if I wear this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would perhaps consider me as from those in this ayah. And what is this ayah referring to? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love a person that exhibits the quality of being مُخْتَال and being فَخُور. Now these can both be translated as being arrogant, but there's a slight difference between the two. The word مُخْتَال refers to a person who exhibits the quality of عُجْب because of something Allah gave him. Maybe his nationality, maybe his looks, maybe his money, maybe his strength. Because of something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, he is a person who exhibits a quality of being narcissistic. There's people trying to make space and sit down, so please try to move forward. تَفَسَّحُ فِي الْمَجَالِسِ فَفْسَحُ يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Please try to make space for the brothers at the back. جزاكم الله خير. So, مُخْتَال refers to a person that has the quality of عُجْب, of vanity, of being narcissistic. And the word فَخُور refers to a person that takes this quality and he applies it to others. Meaning he feels he's better than other people. As we know in the famous hadith, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, that لَا يَدْخُلْ الْجَنَّ مَا كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالَ ضَرَّةٍ مِنَ الْكِبْرِ. That a person will not enter Jannah if they have an atom's weight of kibr in them. And the Sahaba, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we like to have nice things. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلُ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Allah is beautiful and he loves beauty. What is kibr? It is two things. بَطْرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ. First point is that when the truth comes to you, you know something is true, but for whatever reason, your ego can't accept it. Usually in our relationships with our family members, sometimes we do this. We know it's true, but we can't accept it. This is بَطْرُ الْحَقِّ. And the worst type of this is when you do this against the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says something is haram or halal, and you have a way that you're acting arrogantly against this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a person who exhibits this, they will not enter Jannah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا عَنْهَا. They have kibr against the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they belie them. لَا تُفَتَّحُ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ. The skies will not open for them, nor will they enter Jannah. حَتَّى يَلِجَ الْجَمَلُ فِي سَمِّ الْخِيَاطِ. Until a camel enters the pinhole of a needle. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protection from this. So he said that بَطْرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ, and looking down on others is the other aspect. When you think you're better than someone for someone else. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he decided against wearing this, although it was not made of silk. The next example, the fourth example mentioned, and this hadith is contained in the Sahihain, it's muttafaqun alayh, and it's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that there was once a man in the nations before, and this person, he sold a plot of land to another person. Now when this person who bought this plot of land received it, he found that in this plot of land was a jar of gold. Then he told the person that he bought it from, that I bought the land, I didn't buy the gold. Subhanallah, we see how things have changed in terms of people's morals. We buy something and there's some extra in it, we buy a car and the person left something extra and the person wants it back, then we fight tooth and nail and we sometimes even sue them for that aspect and we tell them we bought the entire product. This person said, I bought the land, I didn't buy the gold, take the gold back. The person who sold him the land, he said that I sold you the land and everything on it. And he said that I don't want this gold either. So both of them, or neither of them, wanted this jar of gold. Subhanallah, we need to go back to these qualities of being selfless like this. Eventually, a person had to come in between and judge between these two people. And what he told them is he said to the first individual, do you have a son? He said, yes. He asked the second person, do you have a daughter? He said, yes. Then this person advised that the two of them get married and this money is spent on the two of them, and if there's anything extra, it could be given in sadaqah as well. Now what we learn from all of these stories is that the quality we'll discuss in today's khutbah, which is a quality which is extremely rare, and in fact it is in many cases almost extinct in this ummah, is the quality of having al-wara. What is al-wara? It is called or translated as cautious piety. Al-wara, it is al-ijtinab min ash-shubuhat khawfan min al-wuqu' fi al-muharramat, leaving those things which are doubtful, fearing as though you will fall into something which is haram. And there are many ahadith where an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells the sahaba, like in the famous one, he tells Abu Hurairah radiyallahu an, ya Abu Hurairah, o Abu Hurairah, kun wari'an takun a'budu an-nas. O Abu Hurairah, be someone who exhibits the quality of having cautious piety. and you will be from those that are the most obedient and worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another narration, he also mentions that if you want to be from the muttaqeen, لا يبلغ عبد من المتقين حتى يدع ما لا بأس به حذرا لما به بأس. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, you will not attain the level of being a person who has true level of taqwa until you leave things that have no problem in it. There's actually nothing wrong with it, but you fear that there might be something wrong with it, so you leave it. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu as well, it's mentioned that he would say that from the Sahaba, he said that we used to leave 9/10 of what is halal, 9/10 of what is halal, fearing falling into haram. And we see that in today's era, we do the complete opposite. We look for any justification, any fatwa to tell us this is okay, and then we will go for it. And we also find, going back to the initial point that we mentioned, with respect to a person's righteousness, that there was one from At-Tabi'een by the name of Habib ibn Abi Thabit, rahimullah. And he said that, لا يعجبكم كثرة الصلاة امرأ ولا صيامه. Do not be impressed by a person's excessive praying and their fasting. ولكن انظروا إلى ورعه. But rather, look at his cautious piety. And he says that if this aspect of cautious piety is found within him, إن كان ورعاً مما وإن كان ورعاً مع ما رزقه الله من العبادة, that if this quality of ورع is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed this person in terms of that person's allotment of righteousness, هذا عبد لله حقا, this is a true worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to try to revive this quality of being cautiously pious. And to understand how important this quality is, there's one of those that compiled the books of hadith, one of those that authored the Kutub al-Sitta, Abu Dawood al-Sijistani. He mentions that after compiling all of his hadith, he says, after looking at all of these hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he says, Al-Islam yaduru ala arba'ati ahadith. Islam in its entirety revolves around four ahadith. You can summarize all of the deen of Islam into four ahadith. One of those that he chooses is the famous hadith where Al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells the ummah of Islam, he says, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنَ وَالْحَرَامَ بَيِّنَ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلِمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ فَمَنْ اتَّقَعَ الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. Al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells this ummah, he says, halal is clear and haram is clear. And there are ways we can tell something is clearly halal. For example, it's mentioned in clear-cut words in the Quran and the Sunnah. It's clear, it's qat'i fi thubut, qat'i fi dalala. It's clear-cut. There's ijma'a, the ummah has agreed to it. It is something which is ma'alum min ad-deen bid-darura. Muslim and non-Muslim, they know this is part of Islam. If you deny these things, this would take you out of Islam. Halal is actually clear and haram is clear as well. But between these two matters are some things which are doubtful. Maybe some of the scholars might have differed over it. Maybe you're unsure of it yourself. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is advising the ummah. He's saying, وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلِمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. Most people don't know. And he says, فَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. Whoever falls into the doubtful matters will eventually fall into haram. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. In one version he says, فَلَا تَقْرَبُهَا. These are the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't even go near to them. And the hadith, it continues by giving us a parable. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that every king has a sanctuary. Imagine you're a king and you have an area of vegetation, a place where you take rest, a place where you have your fruit trees, and you don't want anything to damage this special area that you have. And he gives the example of a person who might be a shepherd, and he has a sanctuary as well. If you are a shepherd and your sheep are grazing the grass, and they get too close to the sanctuary, eventually they're going to get into the sanctuary and eat from that as well. And that is why as a believer, you need to have a barrier between yourself and those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made haram, as Abu Darda radiallahu anhi mentions. That part of your wara, part of your cautious piety is not to do everything which is halal, but put a barrier between yourself and that which is haram, because if you don't do so, then eventually you're going to fall in. As human beings, we operate on this principle. If it is a snowy day, we have a buffer between us and the person in front. If we have an important interview, we ensure we leave half an hour early. And as a Muslim, we need to have a buffer between ourselves and those things which are haram, because if you don't do so, eventually you will fall into that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sanctuary, as the hadith continues, are those things which He has made prohibited for us. Now, how can we become a person who exhibits the quality of al-wara? The first point is that we find a narration that is mentioned by Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, that he says, حَفِظْتُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He memorized these words from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. What is it? دَعَ مَا يُرِيبُكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكَ. Leave that which has doubt for that which has no doubt. And we'll give some examples of this. There might be a scholar and another scholar which differ. One of them, both of them, they agree is okay. But one of them, there may be in some doubt in. If you want to be one who is not acting on the aspect of the fatwa, it might be perfectly fine, as we mentioned. Umar al-Khattab sometimes, he said that he would leave 9/10 of what's halal. But if you want to be someone who's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do the one which has no doubt in it. This is the first way. Another aspect as well is, once it is mentioned that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the Sahaba by the name of Wabisa ibn Ma'bad radiallahu anhu. And he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told him, "Ya Wabisa, that have you come to ask about bir and ithm? Have you come to ask about righteousness and sin?" Then he applies in the affirmative. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he takes his hand and he puts it together and he places it on his chest, and he tells Wabisa, he says that as for bir, he says, "Istafti qalbak, istafti nafsak." And he repeats this 3 times. Take a fatwa from your heart. Take a fatwa from your soul. And he repeats this 3 times. And he says, as for ithm, as for sin, it is something ma haka fi sadrik, something which your heart does not feel content with, even if people give a fatwa in its favor. And we also find as well Sufyan al-Thawri. He says, ma ra'aytu ashala min al-wara. He says, I have not seen something which is easier than cautious piety. Whatever I'm unsure about, or whatever you're unsure about, leave it. Now again, this is something which is difficult. And that is why the early Muslims did not look at a person's salah, or their siyam, or their ibadah if they wanted to see someone was righteous. But they looked at a person and the level of cautious piety that individual possessed. In the last part of the khutbah, let us mention some practical areas in which we can apply this quality of being cautiously pious. One example we can see is with the holiday season which has just passed. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells our ummah. He says, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum." Whoever imitates a people is from them. Now, as for celebrating the day of Christmas in and of itself, the day itself, this is haram no matter how many soccer players do so. This is something which is forbidden in the deen of Islam. But there could be something which is loosely associated with it. Maybe you go to the store and you find some cookies with some green and red sprinkles, and you just want it for the fact that it maybe tastes good, but you're unsure. Could this be partaking in that celebration to some degree or not? A person, what should they do in this scenario when it comes to those aspects of imitating those that are not Muslims? Whether it comes to even your appearance, whether it comes to your any type of imitation of them. The scholars, they may differ as to what is acceptable and as to what is not. Apply the hadith that Ali radiallahu anhu's son Hassan, he memorized from the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is what? دَعَ مَا يُرِيبُكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكَ. Leave that which has doubt for that which has no doubt. Another example could pertain to the fatawa of the ulama, and it could pertain to what some ulama deem as bid'ah or not. As for the issue of bid'ah itself, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, "Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahu rad." Whoever introduces something into this matter of ours which is not from it is rejected. But as for the application of this, Ash-Shafi'i has a definition, rahimullah, and his student Imam Ahmad has a different definition. Sometimes they would differ from the early Muslims even at that level. There are some things which are universally agreed upon that all of the ulama, like celebrating the day of Ashura, is completely bid'ah. But other aspects, the ulama, they might differ. And the earlier on you get, then the more tolerant you should be with others that maybe adopt a different view in terms of the ummah. But as for yourself, you might have one scholar giving one opinion that this is bid'ah, another one may say that it's perfectly fine. But a person sometimes should operate from the paradigm of al-wara, not the fatwa itself. One of them may have some doubt, And we know the severity of bid'ah. The other one, everyone says it's perfectly fine. Da'ama yuribuk ila ma la yuribuk. We're not talking from the aspect of fatwa, but just from the aspect of al-wara' or cautious piety. Another example of this we can give, which is practical in our application, could be a person when it comes to their consumption of meat. There are some people that only go to places which have slaughtered in accordance with the rules of dhabiha, of those rules stipulated in the hadith. Other individuals might say that we are living in a land which is from the lands of Ahlul Kitab, although Canada is 53% Christian, just for a statistic. But not operating from the aspect of a fatwa, because those fatawa do exist. But if a person wants to practice the quality of cautious piety, and you have one which is perfectly 100% according to everyone halal, the other one, some say it is, some say it's not, what should you do if you want to be one who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Simple. Not from the angle of the fatwa again. دَعَ مَا يُرِيبُكْ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكْ. And again, this might cause some difficulty and hardship for us. But remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for this quality. Another example, and an important one as well, is when it pertains to finances. In one hadith, it is mentioned that on the day of judgment, a person's feet will not move until they are asked about five things. Two of them, they pertain to finances. One of them is your money and how you got it. You might be working somewhere, and you don't know if it's fully halal or not, or there could be something doubtful in it, and you're seeking a fatwa, and someone might even give it to you. Or it could be in terms of your spending on something which could be a part of either gharar, which the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbade, naha Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam an bay'il gharar, something in which there is no certainty in the transaction, or riba, something pertaining to this you're unsure. Again, apply this principle of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and you'll become min a'budan nas, from those that are the best worshippers of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentions with respect to riba in one hadith narrated in Muslim, in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. He says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or it's mentioned that la'an Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, la'an Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, akilu riba, the one who consumes riba, meaning he's charging other people riba, the Prophet ﷺ cursed this person. And the one who also pays into it. And the one who writes it down. And the one who witnesses it. And at the end of this narration it says, hum sawa, they're all the same. So a person, they might have a fatwa. And again, with certain conditions, maybe it's okay. Some of the ulama may have said this. But if you want to be min a'budan nas, then try to apply this rare quality of being cautiously pious, and it will save you from so much, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you in so many ways. When it comes to your consumption as well, this pertains both to your finances and to the eating of meat. Remember the fact that your dua could be rejected based on the fact that you're not sustaining yourself with halal. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu is one example. It's mentioned that he was so careful of what he put into his body, and he was also one that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said his dua was never rejected. So let us try to revive this extinct quality of the Ummah of Islam. Be one who is cautiously pious, and you will see how these blessings will come into your life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will categorize you among those min a'bud al-nas, which we all want, because we have one life to live, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَقُولُ قُولِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلِكُمْ وَلِسَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ الْمُسْلِمَاتِ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.